Welcome to Goddardji. I'm your host, Nani Sellis. Goddardji is a path back to God, or a way to connect at even greater levels with God, but not just the God that religions have taught us about, but the God that is inside of you, the God that is inside of all of us. Goddardji is a way that you find God on your own terms. And each week I have guests on who speak about their own experiences of God and their relationship with God and the path that has taken them to that relationship. Last week we had Michael Dowd on the show who spoke about the evolution of God, which was an amazing show. And if you haven't heard it yet, I totally recommend you hitting the archives on BBS Radio and downloading that show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about God in relationship to love and letting love in. When we think about love and we think about God, what we're really doing is thinking about the same thing. I'm surprised that when I open Webster's Dictionary that I don't see the definition of love being God and the definition of God being love. Well, that might sound silly, but if you think about it, it really is true. When we experience high levels of God, when we raise our vibration to that of the God essence inside of us, we are truly experiencing love. And on the other side, when we raise our levels to the love vibration, to the highest level of love, and we're talking about unconditional love, we're talking about the love that just makes you tingle from head to toe, we're also talking about God. And so making this connection in our lives helps us bring us much closer to both those elements, to love and to God, when we think and understand that they truly are one and the same thing. When you're feeling love for someone, what you're really doing is you're experiencing God through that love. And that's why when we have judgment for someone, what we're really doing is we're stopping that love from flowing. And the funny thing about that is that when we judge someone else and we stop that love from flowing to them, what we're really doing is stopping that love flowing to us and through us and to them. Because as soon as we stop the love for someone else, what we're really doing is cutting off that love from God to ourselves. So you might want to think about it, and it's not exactly like this, but as a metaphor, you might want to think about it as this energy that runs from God to you and from you to everyone, and from God to everyone, and from everyone to you. And when we judge others, when we put others down, or we undermine others, or we even don't pay attention to others, what we're really doing is we're shutting off God. We're shutting them off to God through us, and we're shutting ourselves off to God. So to open ourselves to love is to open ourselves to God. I see that a lot of people over time and over history have tried to do the opposite, that they've tried to open themselves to God, but not really to love. And we see this in cases where religions and individuals think that their view of God is the right way. And in so doing, they judge others for having different beliefs or even doing things that are outside of the paradigms or the perimeters of that philosophy or that religion. And the funny part about that, as soon as we, again, judge someone for not being like us, what we're really doing, what we're really doing is shutting God off. And that's not really what we want to do. We are at this amazing, amazing, amazing time in history. And we are transforming our planet. And the way in which we're transforming our planet is through divine connections and through love. In other words, God's making a presence here on Earth. Many people talk about the Christ coming again, and I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do believe is that it's in each and every one of us. And the coming of the Christ is through you and through me, and that it's a consciousness and an energy. And that we have the power to create miracles on this planet. And the greatest miracle that we can create is simply bringing love back, simply moving in love, simply breathing in love, simply being in love with each other and with ourselves and with the divine source that we call God, or whatever you might want to call that source. Because, you see, it's all really the same thing after all, isn't it? I think so. And so in just a moment, we're going to bring on one of the most beautiful people I know on this planet, Janine Palmieri, and I'm really excited to do this show with her. And she's been on Chai with Nanis, and she's also been on another radio show that I've done, and we just have an exceptional, exceptional conversation. And to have this conversation with Janine, about God and with you listening in is really, really exciting to me. So take a seat and take a deep breath, because right as soon as we do this short meditation, we're going to move in that direction. So if you're in a safe place and you're not driving, please close your eyes and take a deep, deep breath. And you might notice that even one deep breath relaxes you from head to toe and from toe to head. And another one doubles that relaxation. And a third one, you can only imagine how relaxed you are with that third breath. And the fourth one, and the fifth one. And just keep breathing deeply as you listen to my voice. A few days ago, I realized that, for the most part, without thinking about it, that my relationship with God was somehow outside of myself. And what I mean by that is that when I thought about God, I thought about God as being, you know, like a friend or a lover, and something or someone that stood outside of me and loved me from the outside in. And when I realized that, I also realized that that wasn't true. And as soon as that epiphany occurred to me, I realized that God was really inside of me. That God is really inside of each and every one of us. And so now, join me in this epiphany and imagine that God is truly inside of you. That God inhabits your heart, or your soul, or the core of your being, that God is inside of you as a presence and an energy. And you might feel tingling, you might feel warmth, you might feel a high vibration of energy, you might even feel uncomfortable, and if so, just take a deep breath into it and relax into it. I promise it's safe and you will be all right. You're in good hands with God. And as God is inside of you and taking place, space, inhabitants inside of you right now, in this current now, imagine that God is sending you love from the inside out. And feel that God is not loving you from somewhere outside of yourself in, that God is inside of you now, loving you from the inside out. And breathe into that. And let that move over you in waves. And as you continue to imagine that God is loving you from the inside out, imagine loving God inside of you. Imagine you loving God inside of you. And you might feel an energy going inside as pulses or waves, some sort of divine sensation. And as you imagine loving God inside of you, now imagine God loving you from inside. And watch how these waves feel, how these waves experience, how these waves of love move back and forth from God to you and you to God. And breathe into that. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, if it hasn't happened yet, that suddenly you realize that this love from you to God and this love from God to you, these waves of energy that are moving from the center to the outside, from the outside to the center, become one energy. Become one. And you begin to know and experience and remember the oneness of who you really are. The oneness of you. And although we've done this beautiful meditation at this moment in time, this is available to you every single day for the rest of your life. And it's my gift to you. And so use it. Use it as a gift. Remember God's inside of you and love God and allow God to love you from the inside out. Because that really is what's happening. That really is the truth of how much God loves you. So without further ado, Janine, are you on the line today?
Yes.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
on feeling exceptional after that meditation.
That was awesome. I feel pretty exceptional, too. I felt all tingling through my body. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can speak anymore. So.
Yeah, I feel very focused and very present. This is definitely a huge topic, so that's a good method to do the meditation. And just, yeah, I thought I was focused when Don first gave me a call, but now I'm really focused.
Awesome. And it's funny because I feel very, very connected as well. So the meditation worked on me too.
Awesome.
So Janine, it's funny because, we've known each other for, I guess it's like 10 months now. And I want to share the story of how we met in just a moment. But we've never really spoken about, I realized that I don't really know your true relationship with God. Through all the intimate and amazing conversations that we've had, we've never had this conversation specifically. And so I'm really excited to share this on the air. That's cool.
Yeah, me too. I realized that earlier too. Like when you asked me, I was like, oh yeah. You know, I thought I'd end up on Daughter G at some point, but I didn't realize that soon.
Yes, of course. And so do you want to share how we met, or shall I?
I think you should.
All right.
I'll help.
So, okay, thank you. You can say your perspective of the story, because I can only say my perspective, right?
Yeah.
So August, the end of August, I was on my way to Burning Man with my good friend Giannis, and we stopped in Elko, Nevada to get some lunch, and he said to me, what do you want to eat? And I said, well, pizza sounds good, and we stopped at this pizza place, but they were closed and not opening for about, a good 5 minutes, And we didn't want to wait even 5 minutes, which was interesting because it was only 5 minutes. And instead, the next thing I know, we were decided to go to a Subway. And we checked where there was one, found out there was one down the block, went to the Subway, and it was very, very crowded. There was some kind of group meeting or something there. And we're standing online, and I turned around, and these two people were walking in the door, and this beautiful couple, and the young woman caught my eye immediately. I saw just so much grace and beauty, just amazing magnificence, and even felt like I knew her from somewhere, even though I knew we didn't. There was just such a familiarity. And so they were right behind us in line, and we started talking and ended up having a very long lunch together and connecting at a deep level. And I think I gave you one of my books, Janine. I thought that sounds familiar. And then we gave them the camp that we were staying at Burning Man, and a day or two later, they showed up, and the rest is history, and came to Salt Lake City shortly after that, and have been here for the last, since September, and we have just developed just the most beautiful relationship. And Janine, you are my daughter and my sister and my wise friend, and I'm just constantly impressed and amazed by you.
As am I. You're definitely a unique relationship indeed. But I'm glad. Yes. I'm so glad that we found each other. We're very lucky to have found each other.
Yes, we're very lucky. We're very lucky. And I think it relates to the topic as well, letting love in. But before that, I want you to share your version of what happened and how we met, and also I want to hear about your experience and your relationship with God.
All right. Well, you pretty much got all the main points in the story down pat, except I'll take everybody back before the Subway meeting. It was similar, me and my boyfriend were like, so, we're hungry, what are you thinking? We really didn't have the money to go out to eat, and actually, to even back everybody up farther than that, we're actually from Florida and wanted to go on this cross-country road trip with no exact itinerary, just a general direction, having family up the coast. Took me to a bunch of other states in between, so Burning Man was definitely a time limit point, which was, like Denise said, at the end of August. So we're driving in Elko, Nevada. Besides, we were hungry, but thought, we didn't really have the money to be going out, but, why not? Just a day or so before Burning Man. And like Amy said, she definitely initiated the contact, but of course upon seeing her too, I was like, oh, they're definitely going to Burning Man. Because you don't know, there's a certain... Sometimes there's a certain look. Anyway,
we'll leave that for another show.
We'll leave that for another show. Yeah, so, you know, we sat down, had lunch, which, like you said, gave us your group, the group that you belong to, and which was basically our invitation to hang out with you every day, which ended up happening.
Yes.
And actually, to back up more than that, this is like a Pulp Fiction movement. If everyone's paying attention, they'll remember. So we stopped by in Salt Lake City before even going to Elko, Nevada. Elko, Nevada, we were closer to Burning Man. And just stopped at one of the parks and just completely fell in love. Like, never even considered Utah before, but stopped at one of the parks and just fell in love and thought this place was close enough to live at, you know, to regenerate more money for the second part of the road trip. So that's, you know, we decided that before even meeting Denise and finding out that she lived in Utah. And so, you know, after Burning Man, we went back to Utah as planned, and the relationship built from there, the most profound, synchronistic, I mean, words just don't describe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Janine. That's beautiful. And so,
yes.
so tell me about your relationship with God. Now, I know that you grew up religious, but that changed at some point. And share what you like, please.
All right. Thank you. Well, yeah, I was raised Catholic, which is a pretty strict religion. My intermediate family, anyway, wasn't so strict with it. We went to church every Sunday, but if you know how a Catholic church goes, I mean, it's easy to be distracted, you know. No offense to anybody out there, but I'm sure you know that it can be distracting, pretty boring. So at an early age, I was distracted from religion altogether. I'd say probably 11 or 12, it didn't feel as sacred as I saw some people have it, and I just thought, well, maybe I'm too young, maybe I'll just get it when I'm older. But still, it was like that instinct, like something's not right here. And it was just recently I was able to let myself kind of define what my relationship with God was like, because, I mean, even now, ultimately, I feel like God is just unperceivable. Like, at least from my point of view, I feel like there's nothing, I mean, I don't know, because there's such a big space, you know, and I know he exists, or she exists in a different dimension. And just the act of saying he, that there's so many, like, patterns that I've just, like, that's just a pattern in my brain because I've heard it said as he so many times. It's not like I even believe it's a he, you know. But anyway, just a couple of years ago, I was reading this book called Parable of the Sower by J.J. Butler. He's actually a science
fiction
writer.
What's the name of it?
Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler. And he's actually a science fiction writer, but she had this beautiful, beautiful outlook on God. And I mean, there's a lot of poetry in the book, but it was like from a first-person perspective and their life growing up and a lot of... not so fun things happened to them, and she came to this conclusion that God was change, which made a lot of sense to me because, you know, when I try to define God, I say, you know, just as abstract as it is tangible, it's everything, which is why it's nothing to, you know, an energy like you were describing earlier on that cannot really be like created or destroyed.
Yes.
And just something that's everlasting. Like, to me, change is the only thing that is definite because of its nature. It's ever-changing, you know? But that's not to say that I think I have a good relationship with God, especially after, this is going to sound terrible at first, but let me finish. After 15 years, and hearing your perception of God, I'm like, wow, you know, like just like at the beginning when you said that God was in each and every one of us, like that idea, it's almost like one of those ideas like, oh, I want to believe it so much, but I'm just so, like my rational mind is so perplexed by that, you know. But, what, you know, but the point is you stirred up some amazing things inside me, you know, like I still, you know, like an aspect I believe that God has changed, and like, you know, it's never just a good thing or just a bad thing. It's never what it's being seen, you know, because everybody asks, like, well, if there is a God, why do bad things happen to good people? And, you know, I understand people suffering and not wanting to understand at the time, but I also believe that suffering is a gift in certain ways, and it helps us learn things. So I could see why, you know, God would have people suffer, because if he didn't, he would neglect to stir the pot, you know. Or she. But this is to say that I don't really... My relationship with God is on the rocks, I'd say. I know that it's there because I'm here and something made me.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Mm-hmm. So, I hear you say, Janine, that it's like... You hear the words like God is inside of you, and it's like you want to believe that, but it's like there's a gap between like thinking that and like knowing that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say you speak for a lot of people. I'd say that is something really, really common, and no one speaks about that. You know, no one speaks about that. And so I want to ask you a question. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
So I get this thing about God being changed. Totally, of course, God has changed. But it would seem to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it would seem to me that there would need to be some kind of container for the change.
Hmm. Well, that's also where I go into just believing that God is an energy, and I like what you said at the beginning too about, you know, some people think Christ is coming, but you don't know if you believe that, but you agree that it's a consciousness. So like I do like an energy. Like energy is a consciousness, or a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least how I picture it, because that's actually something specifically, like, I don't think, as far as gender goes, God is male or female. Of course, I'm, you know, subject to change, but that denotes, like, I actually don't feel like there's a container, but I...
Interesting.
But where are you going with this? I'm interested to see what you're...
You know, I'm not exactly sure. It's the question of the moment. So it's an interesting concept to me that, you know, God being changed. Because so it's like what I, you know, and the things that we're talking about, you know, they're so hard to put words to, and any words that we put to them are only like facsimiles or mirrors of a truth. You know, it's as soon as you put words to it, it's no longer what it is. So it's like I say the word love, and it's not love. It's just a way to describe love. And so we say the word God, and it's not God. Mm-hmm. It's a way to describe God. And so it's like so my experience of God is definitely ever changing and everlasting, and that it's like almost like so God, like anywhere you look, it's kind of like, you know, like playing a game, and like try to find where God is not, and like as soon as you look in that place, there's God, because the mere act of observation is extending what is God, and so somehow that becomes the container, but not like a container, like, you know, like a teacup like I have on my desk here, but like a container that just keeps expanding, like so an ever expanding container. And so it's like if I'm in this ever expanding container, because everything that's God must be, like, so anything that manifests in the physical form has to be, it can't be outside of God, because nothing's outside of God. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. It's also like, but then I like question myself, do I agree with that? Like, if I'm still struggling with the concept that, you know, we were created or we evolved, you know, so then it's like, do I? It's hard to say. I want to say that, yes, I agree with that, that nothing isn't God, you know.
I understand. So if this is true, and I don't know if any of this is true, you know, I mean, really, we're just doing our best to try to figure out what God is according to our experiences, and most of those experiences, and I can speak for myself, are non-physical experiences, and they're spiritual experiences that have happened in meditative states and in you know, moments of that are completely in the now, and something develops energetically there. And so if this is right, and that we're all inside of God, that must mean that we're made of God. So it's like how can you be inside of God if this is true, and not be of God? Try that on for a second. If let's pretend that's true. Let's pretend that God is everything. Right?
Yeah. And try that on. That makes a lot more sense. And it's funny because in one of my descriptions, I thought God was everything, which is why it was nothing, too. And you just substantiated that for me. Yeah. Like, I guess I didn't really know what I meant when I said that, you know?
Wow.
It's something, yeah.
You've said so many profound things in just the few minutes that we've been talking, and one of those things was the he-she dilemma. You know, is God a he, is God a she? And it's really funny because up until recently, I would tell you up and down, left and right, that God did not have a sex, that God was just all energy. And I do believe that, but I also believe that there is, and I know not a lot of traditions, including Native American, I believe that Mother, Father, God. And the more that I understand God on an intimate level, personal level, outside of, you know, books and religion and everything like that, the further I've come down the road to this place where I do experience that there is a female energy of God or aspect of God, and there is a male energy or aspect of God. Like they're all the one. It's like to me, it's like this energy that's one, like split into male, female, in order for creation to happen. So it's almost like with just one energy. Oh, it's like this. I'm kind of thinking out loud, as you know I always do. So it's like this one energy. Well, if something's just one, it can't create, right? It's just one. So it's like one person can't create life, you know. So this one energy, which we'll call God, separates into two, kind of like even maybe like the cells, you know, conception of a baby. So this one energy of God splits into two, and so there's one aspect and there's another aspect. And so one aspect we consider the male aspect and holds the male aspects, and the other's the female aspects, which holds the female aspects. And then these relate to almost everything around us having male aspects and female aspects. And so it's like, you know, the moon being a female and the sun being male, you know, night and daylight, you know, left and right even. We associate left with male, somebody who's more left brain, right with female, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. And so it's like this spectrum that is really, it's really one. So it's like, left and right, it's on the same spectrum. Like there's not two different measurements for it. It's the same measurement. So it's like it's the same measurement for light and dark. They're not opposites. They're really on the same spectrum, which is the same line. So darkness on one side, light on the other side. They're really the same thing. And the more you'd move towards the middle, they are the same thing. They become one. And so it's almost like that in this context with God. You know, the God splits into this male aspect and this female aspect in order to create and have this contrast or this friction in some ways in order for creation to exist. So, as I'm talking about it, I'm kind of like moving my hands here and getting a better idea. So you're going to like this, Janine. So what I'm getting now is God separates into the male and the female, and just like this concept of light dark separates into light and dark, and so in that spectrum, that's the container. So imagine putting your hands together, okay, and that being God, And everyone do this who's listening. Put your hands together. Okay, and that's God. And now separate your hands, one going one way, one going the other way, the left hand being the masculine, the right hand being the female. And now your hands are maybe a couple of feet apart. And imagine that everything that's created was within the distance of your hands. And that's the container of creation, according to this theory. What do you think? What do you think, Janice?
I think it's brilliant. That's one of those answers I wouldn't even have been able to imagine. You know, you saying like, oh, you know, it's neither, it's both. You know, like, like the friction between different, like two things. They can't just be one thing, but the friction between two things causing creation just makes so much sense. And what you're describing about the spectrum, I feel like is true for human emotion too. Like, it's never just one or a couple or just the good ones. Like, it's the whole spectrum.
Right.
That's just one of those, like, inconceivable things that I'm glad you can articulate. Because I have
been. You inspire me. You inspire me, as you know. So this kind of like brings us, of course, this kind of brings us to what you said about, you know, bad things happening to good people. Now it's like I can kind of see that in that spectrum too. You know, like what you just said, it was brilliant. Like emotions is a spectrum of emotions, and, you know, joy being on one end or bliss being on the other, and, you know, sadness or, you know, great despair being, or anger even being on the other side. And so it's like, you know, so maybe these bad things, quote unquote, that happen, really maybe they're there to help us to experience that spectrum of emotion.
Yeah. That is a lot more easily received than just, you know, the gift theory, which is also true, but not everybody wants to hear in the middle of suffering that, it's a gift, you know, take this gift gladly, you know, like it makes a lot more sense in a way, like all a part of the spectrum.
Because I know, like, if I'm in the throes of, you know, crisis and somebody says to me, look at this as a gift, you know, I'm not going to be happy with what they're saying. But in this concept of spectrum, you know, it's funny because I always hated the cold. And I remember one day, and it was a cold day here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was a few years ago, and I remember thinking, if I didn't have a body and I was the spiritual being, and like I never experienced what cold was, like how it would be such a prize and such a great gift to experience cold, and that I would travel very, very long distances in order to have this experience of cold, and it somehow changed the experience of cold for me, like, oh, this like if I never felt cold, I'd want to feel cold. And then I started thinking, I bet that it would be the same for like emotions like anger or hate. So imagine, like, you know, you're this spiritual being and you've never felt the emotion or the experience of anger, and you'd be like, wow, I want to experience that just for the sake of experiencing it. And or you know, fear. And we know that this is true in human nature, because people go to scary movies all the time and they pay to feel fear. People go to the amusement parks, not me particularly, but they go to the amusement parks and they pay to be afraid. And this happens, you know, all across the world. And so it tells us that there's a value to these, what we would consider undesirable emotions like fear and anger. People pay for them. So I would imagine that beings would come a long way to this planet Earth in order to have those experiences. And you can't have those experiences without, quote-unquote, bad things happening, or what we would consider bad things, because it's our concept that it's a bad thing that actually provokes those emotions of, you know, anger, hate, resentment, you know, whatever. So in that way, there we are, back to the gift again.
And, you know, talking about the spectrum, too, I read something earlier about God, you know, doing a little bit of research for the show. And it was, you know, just, like, looking around, because it's also, like you said, like, we've never talked about it. And it's not something I think about as much as I'd like to, because when I think about it, I'm like, oh, this is big, you know, like, this is a part of my everyday life. So anyway, like, it was all interesting to read. And I don't even remember who it was written by, but it reminded me of something you said about even with the spectrum of emotion, it, like, the base is love. Like, even in, I think it was, like, talking about God's wrath or anger or something, or the earth's anger or something, you know, and I was thought that was interesting. Like, okay, you know, a Christian is writing about God's wrath. Let's see what they're saying, you know. And even out of their, even out of God's wrath, there's this love connotation with it. And you could probably explain that a lot better than I could. But just talking about the spectrum of emotion, then I started thinking about love again.
Yes.
And how that really filters through all of the emotions, and that's what God is, you know. God is love.
Yes.
Like you were saying at the very beginning.
Yeah, to let love in. That's that is a beautiful exploration there, Janine. Yeah, so it's like so wherever we are at the spectrum, there's love is always available. You know, it's like, so okay, I like this. Okay, so we're gonna look at that container again. So we'll put our hands out. You know, one on the left, one on the right, and they're facing each other. And so this is the spectrum or the container that all creation is in. And so when we look at emotion, maybe, you know, we'll have higher emotions on the right, you know, joy on the right, lower emotions on the left, or it could be reverse. And so when we look at love, well, we might say, well, love's on the right. That's you know, but really the truth is that if this is the container of God and God is love, then that must mean that the whole spectrum of emotion is, it's really love. That it's really love. That if it's made up of God, then it's made up of love. If God and love are truly one and the same thing. And so that wherever, and this is the good news, this is the good news. Because wherever we are, I love good news, wherever we are on that spectrum, we're only a breath away from love. And really that is, so it's like, so it's a matter of shifting, it's a matter of shifting our perspective. It's a matter of getting back into the now. It's a matter of letting go of our story. Because, you know, in order to, like, to experience anger or hatred or fear, in order to experience any of those things, there has to be a story attached. There has to be a story. And when we let go of the story, then suddenly we let go of that anger, that fear, whatever, the jealousy, whatever we're feeling. And as soon as we truly let go of it, what we're left with is love. What we're left with is absolute love. And the way that, you know, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. Well, it's getting easier because we've moved into this amazing time in history where it is getting easier and we're closer to accessing love and God. Every moment we're closer, I believe. Most people access it through an experience of forgiveness. So it's like we're experiencing anger. That's a good piece to work with here. So we're experiencing anger. Somebody did something to me. And I arrive, well, I'll play with a real life example. So, Janine, as you know, when I was 16, 17, I was in this very abusive relationship. And, you know, it took me years, even after I got about, to really, like, heal. And I thought I forgave this person and, you know, all of that. And it has been a process. And a few years ago, I realized that I was responsible for everything in my life, that literally I had created everything in my life, and that meant that relationship. And the way that I had created it was simply that it was a mirror or a reflection of my subconscious thoughts and beliefs about myself. So there was a part of me that was truly abusing myself, and the only way that I knew that was to actually project that out into the world. And in order for me to get that projection, someone had to come along and beat me. And so here he comes along, he volunteers for the part, and, you know, he's very abusive, almost killed me, all of that. But once I realized that he only did those things because I was reflecting them out and he simply answered the call, I arrived at this place of, oh, I'm so sorry. Literally, like, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me that gift, because truly, and this is true, it taught me what I was doing to myself, and I made different choices. And in that place, suddenly, there's only love. So there's nothing to forgive, and I'm left with just pure love, love for him, love for the experience, love for myself, just absolute love. And so what that means is that even that in that experience, love was only a thought away. You know, if I had had that epiphany, which I wasn't able to, but if I had had that epiphany in that moment, I would have immediately experienced love. So in other words, in that moment that I was being abused, or any of those moments at that time that I was being abused, if I had simply woken up and remembered the truth of who I was and what I was doing and what I was attracting, in that moment, the story would have disappeared and I would have been completely stripped of it and just left with pure love and gratitude. And so what that tells us is that at any moment, in any emotion, in any bad circumstance, that love is truly only a thought away. Oh, love is only a thought away, right? And that's magnificent.
Yeah. It's a lot less stressful when you remember that.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that this brought it to a whole new level for me. Like, just like going back there, like as I'm talking about it, being back there and imagining myself in that moment, in the worst moment of it all, just suddenly, like literally waking up and saying, wait, I remember what I'm doing. I remember why I'm here. And then just looking into his eyes and just remembering that who he is. And so in that moment, everything just transcends and transforms. So not only in this moment, for that moment, in that moment, and that's pretty damn profound.
Yeah. How about they don't even have a comment today?
What's that?
I was just saying so much, I don't even have a comment. Which is why I was being quiet. I didn't want to be like, where is she?
Janine, are you there? Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm curious. When you think about God, like, do you have a physical experience of God, or is God just kind of like a thought in your head?
Actually, this like analogy or metaphor came to mind, and I think, firstly, to answer your question, it's definitely a physical experience. Which I wonder if that's why I don't think about it as often. I don't know, because then would I be desensitized? But it's like, you know, if a wind were constantly blowing, you know, because I was about to use that exact analogy, like the wind is something that you can't really see, but by its effects on the environment, you know that it's there. You know, and it's a sensation, you know, it's like the deep breath, like for me, that's the sensation, I guess.
Yeah.
Of God is like the inhale, like the, that's a good question. What about you?
I think that for a long time that I'd have to think about God. And now I think it's like I think about God, but it's a physical experience, like it's in my body, like I can feel like this energy, this tingling that's like in my head and in my body.
So in that way, then no, I don't think it's physical.
For me, I'm curious to know what it is for most people. So if anybody's listening, email me and let me know. I want to know. I'll give you my email address at the end of the show in a few minutes. It's an interesting question. Wow. You know, how people, where, I've never thought about this question before, like where, like how do you experience God? Do you experience God in your head or in your body or something else?
Wow.
It's a good thing.
I guess that was,
you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Janita, will you join me in doing the prayer circle tonight? And the way that we do the prayer circle is simply we invite people to add the consciousness of somebody that they're praying to this circle that we're energetically going to create in a moment.
Okay.
And if there's someone that you'd like to put into that circle as well, and if you want to think of their names in a moment, does that sound good?
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, oh, cool. Okay. So again, so if you can and you're not driving, close your eyes and just imagine a beautiful, beautiful circle. And there's a golden light around the circle, creating the circle, and there's a golden light coming down from above into the circle, and this energy is vibrating through the whole circle. And imagine that there's a door leading to this circle. And whoever you would like to put in the circle for prayer, please do so now. And you can pray for somebody's health and well-being, that a situation or experience transform for the highest good, for a healing, for anything in the highest good of all. And we always assume that what is done in the highest good of all. And God always knows better, because I sure don't. God always knows better. And so, Janine, is there anybody's name that you would like to put into that circle?
Yeah, there's a couple of people's names.
Would you like to say them out loud or just silently?
Just silently. My family.
Awesome.
My
awesome.
Family in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Your family in Florida. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I'd like to put Paul into the circle and Jeanette and Audrey and Kim. And everybody take a deep breath and just imagine whoever you have in the circle and all these other people that we have included in the circle. And just imagine this golden light falling upon them and through them and over them, completely returning to wholeness. It is done. It is done. It is done. Beautiful. Oh, Janine, thank you so much for sharing this time with me. It was really awesome. You always inspire me, and I'm sure you have inspired many, many people.
Wow. Thank you for having the show. Just by being a guest on your show, I was prompted to think about all this. So I'm sure it's a really big gift for others to have a place to just think about it.
Yes. Thank you so much, sweetheart. You have a great night. Bye, I love you.
I love you too.
Yes, it's so great to be able to share this time with all of you and to speak about God. Where do you get to speak about God? It's one of my favorite things to speak about. No, it is my favorite thing to speak about because it's everything. And I realize that when I'm talking about anything, what I'm really doing is talking about God. And so I might as well talk about everyone and everything in the highest light of all and just let love in, because love really is all there is. And love is only a thought away. Love is in you and love is in me. And when we remember that, love comes alive and God comes alive in our relationships. And isn't that what we're all looking for? I invite you tonight and for the rest of your life to develop deeper and deeper levels of gratitude and love. For in so doing, you develop a greater and deeper and more profound relationship with the divine. And that divine, that God, loves you so much. Loves you infinitely and everlasting. And there's nothing that you could do, say, think, believe, not do that will ever stop God from loving you. You are loved. You are that golden child of God. You are that golden child of God. You are God-loved. Remember, God is inside of you. God's inside of you now, loving you. You can love you too. Love you too. Because when you do, when you love you, you love God. You love God. Please visit me on my website at nannies.com. That's nanice.com. Again, nanice.com for tons of free articles, show downloads, this show, and also my show on LA Talk Radio, which is Chai with Nanice, all free downloads. I also have a free, beautiful book, I Am, that will definitely bring you closer to God, as well as song downloads. Don't forget to listen to Second Hand God, which is our theme song for the show, as well as email me at nanice@nanice.com, N-A-N-I-C-E at N-A-N-I-C-E.com, and the link's right on the right side of that website. And while you're there, don't forget to take the pledge. The pledge will help you remember why you're here on this planet and help you be that person that you need to be in order to be that change we all want to see in the world. Take the pledge. It will change your life and help you change the world. Until next week, I love you. Have a great week. You've been listening to Goddard G. I'm Nanice. Bye for now.